So,
Right.
my name is Michaela Bryson. I'm here with Philip Bryson. The date is October 2nd, Sunday at 11:34. We are in Orange Grove, Texas, and do I have your permission to record?
Sure.
Okay. So, first off, let's start with some of your life. Where were you born?
I was born at the St. Mary's Hospital in Enid, Oklahoma.
Okay, and then what's Enid like?
Enid is probably the top, it's in the top 10 of the largest towns in Oklahoma, so it's a pretty large town.
So, what was growing up there more so like?
Well, when my mom and dad worked in Enid, Oklahoma. Then he moved to a small town called Drummond, which is real small outside of the outskirts of Enid, Oklahoma. So when I was a baby, I lived in Enid for probably 2 years, and then I started school in Drummond, Oklahoma, and went to Drummond for, I guess, kindergarten through sixth grade.
And what was going to school there like? What'd you do?
Only had 12 people in my class, so it was real small class. But we played small 8-man football and basketball and baseball.
Then so after that, where did
So my dad transferred to another town called Clinton, Oklahoma, which is in western part of Oklahoma. A little bit smaller than Drummond, or a little bit bigger than Drummond, smaller than Enid. I started seventh grade and graduated from Clinton, Oklahoma. Real big football town, so it was pretty exciting. I was fairly good in football, so got to move to a town that it was highly recognized for football.
And are they still good for football now?
Yeah, I'd say they're one of the best in Oklahoma, if not the best. We have 17 state championships in the history of Clinton, and I think about 20 silver runner-up balls. So they make the playoffs almost every year, and usually have a very good team, and make the finals more times than not here lately.
Then after high school, what did you go on to do?
After high school, I had a little scholarship, went to Southwestern Oklahoma State, which is about 15 miles down the road at Weatherford, Oklahoma. Was going to be a coach and teacher. Went to college for about a year and decided real quick that's probably not the direction I needed to go. So I needed to find me probably a job. So that's what I did. I went out and found a job.
And what was that job in?
Well, in Clinton, Oklahoma, you only have a handful of really good paying jobs, and one of them is the oil field. And the Western Company of Northern America has been around for 30 years in that town, and they're the third at the time, the third largest fracturing company in the United States. So really good company to work for. And at first I was just going to go there for the summer, try to go back to college, but I think I made like $20,000 in about 2.5 months. And for somebody that just turned 21 years old, that was a lot of money. So it kind of hooked me into the oil field, and I've been here ever since, so going on 30 years next year.
And so, how did your work in oil field in Clinton lead you to come to Texas? How did that?
Well, it started out, I traveled a lot. We did jobs and worked in Wyoming, Utah, Mississippi, Louisiana, New Mexico, and South Texas. And when I got down here to South Texas, I liked it. I visited before with my grandparents, being from a Aransas Pass. So I've been down here before, and it's really nice weather. It doesn't get cold. You don't see snow on the ground very often, so that was nice. So I started working down here around 1998, 3 weeks on and 3 weeks at home. Got the opportunity to transfer. So in 2001, wife and the oldest two kids moved to South Texas, to Corpus Christi.
And then, so where did you how'd you meet your wife?
She was 3 years older than me, so I didn't really know her in high school, but my parents and her parents knew each other, and we're really good friends, and kind of met her after high school. So started dating. Shoot, I was probably 27, 28, so it was a fairly ways after high school. But met her, and we've been together ever since.
And then, so when you, what kind of sort of did you actually do when you worked or working for oil fields specifically?
Start out just a pump helper. Just go out and rig up the frack equipment. Maybe just a labor person. As time went on, I became more of an operator, and then it went into supervision. And then when we transferred to Corpus Christi, I was in management. So over about an 8, 9 year period, I moved up to management.
And then so, how do you think working in oil field has affected your life in kind of like economically and
Economically, well, when times are good in the oil field, there's no better place to be. You can make unreal amount of money. It's you work a lot of hours, but the money is extremely profitable in the oil field. When the oil field's down, when there's a down year, it's probably the total opposite. You want to run from it. You don't want nothing to do with it because it's usually what they call the bust. Oil field boom and bust, and it's pretty ugly time to be in it. A lot of people buy the toys, motorcycles, boats when everything's booming, and when the oil field's not doing great, you see people selling their toys and selling their houses. So it's an up and down industry.
Is there any specific towns that stick out in your mind that like have seen the big boom and then the drop?
Well, for instance, like Clinton, Oklahoma, where I started, the Western Company, they got bought out by BJ Services later after I worked there. But they had been there for, shoot, 30 years. And it was the area in Western Oklahoma had a lot of natural gas and a lot of oil field to be drilled. So it was a very, very good area to be in. And you've seen it here in the last, probably 10 years, the areas in Oklahoma has shifted to a different area. So there's the yard there in Clinton has shut down in the recent years. So you see areas move. For instance, Alice, Texas, down here in South Texas, it used to be the same as Clinton, just a booming area, and all kinds of oil field companies in the town, and it was just a booming little oil field town. And in the last 5 to 10 years, that town has really seen a downturn, and oil companies have moved to different areas. And it's sad to see because people get used to it, and you think it's never going to go away, never going to end, and it eventually does, unfortunately.
What's some of the worst economic low that you remember, and how did it specifically affect you?
Well, being in the oil and gas industry for 30 years, you see a lot of ups and downs. I've seen several that most of the down periods last about 6 to 8 months, and then you start back, and it's tolerable. It's not fun to go through, but it's healthy. You kind of need it to kind of flush out the industry and get everything prices corrected and so forth. But the worst one has got to be the shutdown of the virus. The pandemic, that one's just, it's went on. Start with, the oil field was kind of, price was really down at the end of 20, I guess 2019, first of 2020. And then you throw on shutdowns and people not driving, not going to work. And that really took a toll on the oil and gas industry. Man, it's been a tough one. It's probably been 2+ years. I've seen lots and lots of businesses and people that I know and worked with have went out of business and not been able to survive it. Fortunately, we've been able to navigate and live on to hopefully better times in the future.
And then, in contrast to that, what's the best economic time you've seen?
I would say probably 2014 was it's been the best that I've ever seen. It was a lot of natural gas. Price of natural gas is the highest it's ever been. I think it was like up to $13, $14, $15. Oil price was really, really good. We were just starting in the Eagle Ford Shale, and it was really starting to take off. The Haynesville Shale up there in Louisiana was starting to take off, and everything was just busy, busy. And I've never seen in my time in 30 years, never seen anything as profitable and as booming as that period. Now we've had several that in the 30 years that I've been at, that's been good, but nothing like the 2014, 2015 timeframe.
And then how do you think these ups and downs affect people's lives, even if they don't work in the oil and gas industry?
Well, to start with, the people that do work in the oil and gas industry, it's tough because you get used to making all this money and then you have a downturn, and so if they want to continue making that type of money, they've got to find a different avenue to work for. But for instance, the people outside the oil and gas, you have a lot of hotels and just mom and pop restaurants that thrive off of oil and gas. Everybody eats lunch, everybody eats dinner, they stay at the hotels overnight. So when the boom is going, these places are doing amazing also. And it's this trickle-down effect. Restaurants, you see them going up, hotels are being built everywhere. And then the downside, when oil field's not nearly as profitable and it's not going as good, you see mom and pops and restaurants going out of business and hotels kind of starting to really look like they're not busy at all. The parking lots are empty, and it carries down. There's so many other things that plays into oil and gas.
And then, is there any town that sticks out in your mind that you think has done really well off of the oil and gas industry?
Just being down here in Corpus Christi, in the last 10 years, the Eagle Ford Shale has been huge. So you see towns like Karnes City and Kennedy, it was just a little, you drive by and if you blink, you miss it. And in the last few years, they've just exploded in growth and population. You figure at one time, Karnes County and the surrounding counties around it was probably 70% of the oil field down here in Texas, in South Texas. So you can imagine you need hotels, you need restaurants, you need everything to function when you have that many people and that much going on. And so it's just amazing. You drive through Karnes City now and how much they've grown up, and you see them go from a small school to they'll jump from 2A to 4A. It's crazy to see what oil field has done to that town.
How do you think the oil field is going to develop over the next couple of coming years?
Well, for the next 2 to 3 years, I'm very bullish on the oil field. I think a lot of that's due to our current administration. For one, right now, the president's pulling oil out of our strategic reserves, and that has dropped fuel prices quite a bit here in the last few months. But I think that's a political move for him for the midterm elections. So after that is over, I think he has no other option unless he wants to drain all our strategic reserves, which is at the lowest in, shoot, 50 years already. But unless he wants to drain it all, he's going to have to quit doing that. And once he does, the price of oil is unfortunately going to skyrocket here in the next year to 3 years. And there's nothing I don't think they can do about it. And then you throw on, if 2 years from now, if this current administration Democrat stays in power, they're wanting to throw in green agenda, the windmills, the electric vehicles, everything getting, they're trying to go away from fossil fuels. And so that's, if you reach out to 10 years from now, I'm a little nervous what could happen to our industry. You're still going to need oil for everything that we use. Everything we cups and everything's used from oil base. So it's still going to be around, but it's going to be very, very expensive, I'm afraid. And I think that's going to be their way to play the green agenda into it, is the oil price will be so expensive that we're going to have a hard time affording it. So the other alternatives will be green energy, windmills, solar power, that kind of go that direction.
And then, so going back into your family history, where are your parents from?
My mom was raised in a small town in Kansas called Ark City, Kansas. She was born and raised there, graduated from Ark City. My dad was from right across the state line, south of Ark City, Kansas. He was from a small town called Newkirk. And his whole family has been in that area for many, many years. You can look back on our aunts, our members of the family, and shoot, it runs back almost 50 to 100 years. So we had property. They had, I think, started out with the land run shoot, their 320 acres, and it's all been broke down into family members. Dad had 80 acres from that still, and he split it with his three sisters. So he's been from Newkirk, and just the whole family has been there for many, many years. They never moved from Newkirk.
And then, so what did they do for work?
My mom, she worked for accounting. She had an accounting degree, and she worked for several different CPAs here in her younger years. And then even later in years, my oldest brother is a CPA, and she worked for him. My dad, he's always been in the oil field also. He started out actually in Odessa, Texas, working for the Western Company, surprisingly, but he worked there as a mechanic, and then they moved to Oklahoma, started working for Oklahoma Natural Gas, and he actually had 40, I think 40 some years with Oklahoma Natural Gas, ONG, and retired from them.
Do you think that your dad working in oil field had anything to do with you working in oil field, or was it just more, that's here, I'll take that?
No, it did. I remember as a kid, if there wasn't any school, he was a well pumper also, and on weekends, and if there wasn't any school in the summer, I'd go with dad. I was pretty young, probably in between my 8 to 12 year ages, and I would ride around with him all day long, and go from well to well and see what he does, and kind of learned a little bit of what goes on in the oil field. And it wasn't maybe the cleanest job, but it was fun to do. I mean, it helped knowing the industry before I got into it, what I was getting into.
And then, your grandparents, what did they do when they were working?
My mom's side, he was in the Navy, and he was a cook on a naval ship. So he turned out to be a great cook, amazing the way he could cook things. And but he did that, and then when he got out of the armed forces, he became a inspector at a meat market, and he retired from being an inspector in his later years. And then I didn't get to meet, my dad's dad died before I was born, so I didn't know anything about him. He died fairly young in his 50s. I was the third child from mom and dad, and they were in their 30s when they had me, so there was quite a few years there. So I didn't get to meet my dad's dad and didn't know anything about him.
And then what about your siblings? Who are your siblings? What do they do?
My oldest brother is Alan Bryson. He's been a CPA for many years. I think he grew the largest accounting office in Western Oklahoma. He was there for probably 20 years. He went from nothing to the largest in Western Oklahoma. So that's pretty impressive. We started Circle 8 Crane Services in 2009, and about 2010 he became our CFO, and somewhere around 2015 he became our full-time, he quit his CPA office and went full-time with Circle 8 and has been our CFO ever since. And then I have another, he's 13 years older than I am, and then I have another brother, Kelly Bryson, who's 10 years older than I am. He's worked several jobs in Oklahoma. He worked with me at Western Company and BJ. He actually worked for Circle 8 Crane Services for us for a while in Oklahoma as a salesman, and he's now selling for another company in Oklahoma currently.
Okay, and then what is Circle 8?
Circle 8 is it's a crane company. We provide large cranes for the oil field, for refinery, commercial. If you want your AC set on top of a building, we can do that, all the way to oil and gas, which is our biggest percentage of the company.
And then, so is that, did you make that?
Make the company?
Yeah.
Like the name or the?
just in general, is that yours? Or?
Yes, that, yeah. Me. Myself and my oldest brother, Alan, started Circle 8. And we started out as a chemical company and selling downhole chemicals for about 2 years. And it was really profitable. And got enough money in the bank to go out and buy a crane, which is, at the time, we were short on cranes. So it was a good idea. It was in 2008, 2009 time period. Right there was a little downturn in the oil field for about 6-8 months, and so it was bad timing, but we worked our way through it and survived and grew the company from there.
And so how does chemicals play into the oil field?
When they do fracturing, they pump water with a mixture of gel downhole chemicals in with sand, and that goes down into the perfs, and it suspends and keeps the perfs spread open to where that natural gas or oil can flow. And what we did was we provided the chemicals to pump downhole. So that's with all the work that was going on at that time, it was very profitable to be in.
And then cranes, how do cranes play into?
Well, when they do the fracturing, you have lubricators, and it's anywhere from 60 to 120 foot in the air, and you've got to have something with long enough boom and to hold the lubricator. And then once they move the frack out of the way, they bring in coil tubing, and it's very heavy, and so the cranes are used for moving things around on location and doing the production work.
And then how has owning a company gone for you, especially in oil field?
How's the company gone?
Oh, well, with oil field being up and down.
when it's up, everything's great. You're extremely busy, but when it's down, you gotta watch your money. Unfortunately, we've in 15 years we've only had one layoff, and that was during the pandemic shutdown. We had to lay off some of our workforce, but we've been pretty lucky that we haven't had to do layoffs. We've slowed down and struggled through. We brought in investors one time and we bought them out. So it's just how you got to watch your money and spend correctly, or you'll get in a bind real quick.
And then what current areas do you think are having the, like regions, do you think are having the best time with oil field?
Well, of course, everybody knows about Odessa, the Permian Basin. That's been around for years, and there's just so much oil out there. There could be, they say, as much as what's overseas in Saudi Arabia. It's unimaginable how much oil is downhole in that area. So between the Permian Basin, the Eagleford, which has started here in the last 10 to 12 years, really just exploding. Those are two big oil fields. Then you have the Haynesville Shale in East Texas, Louisiana, Northern Louisiana. It's big on natural gas. Right now, the future looks very bright on it because it's cleaner than oil. So with this administration wanting to kind of do away with fossil fuels, that's a positive for natural gas. And then everything overseas, you're seeing Russia cutting back on shipping gas, natural gas to other countries. So we could fill that void, I'm sure, if we wanted to. It's there to be had. And then you have other areas. Oklahoma has a lot of natural gas and oil mix. So we work in probably, there's probably six regions in the United States that are really, really good. You have the South Dakota, North Dakota areas, and then you have in the eastern parts of the states, in Pennsylvania, and that area, New York. There's oil and gas up there also, but we work in four of the six big oil and gas areas in the United States.
All right, well, I think that's it. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.